Good morning. I'm Josh Holton with the WMNF News headlines. Florida now leads the country in percentage of prisoners living with HIV. WMNF's Chris Young reports on the various causes that may have led our state to this point.
A new study from the Prison Policy Initiative shows that Florida's state and federal correctional institutions hold the most prisoners in the country living with HIV. Mitch Perry, reporter for the Florida Phoenix and on-air host for WMNF, reported on the disease's prevalence in Florida.
Florida was the tops in the country with nearly 3% of its population, prison population, having HIV in prison. And specifically, that is 1,800 HIV-positive people in prison in 2021.
Why? Wanda Bertram, spokesperson for the Prison Policy Initiative, cites many possibilities. 35 states, including Florida, have laws that criminalize the transmission of HIV. Bertram says that this, among other factors, lead to high rates of the disease in prison.
The same people who tend to have HIV are the same people who tend to be incarcerated most often. For the reason that these are, you know, that what these populations have in common is that they tend to be falling through the cracks of the gaping holes in our social services systems.
Black prisoners are the hardest hit, suffering a disproportionately higher rate of HIV in prisons than other races.
We simply shouldn't be living in a society where our criminal justice system is blatantly racist at several different stages of the process.
I contacted the Florida Department of Corrections and did not receive a response. For WMNF News, I'm Chris Young.
Civil rights activist and philosopher Cornel West announced his candidacy for U.S. president yesterday. WMNF's Taylor Lovejoy reports his candidacy provides a progressive third-party option.
Cornel West is a leading figure in modern-day civil rights activism and social change. He is running for president as a member of the People's Party. According to a video announcement on Twitter, his platform will focus on military opposition, corporate overreach, and race relations within the country.
We're talking about empowering those who have been pushed to the margins.
West recently told Chris Hedges he hopes to create a paradigm shift in U.S. politics, igniting a base that is contrary to the modern two-party establishment. For WMNF News, I'm Taylor Lovejoy.
More than 30 workers and organizers joined a strike yesterday outside a Maximus call center. It's just 2 weeks after only a couple call center employees protested against recent layoffs at their Riverview location. According to Maximus, it's a great place to work. In a press release shared yesterday, the company says its most recent employee engagement survey shows that 84% of employees plan to stay with the company for at least another 12 months. WMNF spoke with former employee Vicky Stephanie, who had only worked there for 9 months before getting laid off.
I thought that when I got this job, when they hired me, I didn't have to go any further. Yeah. I didn't have to worry about how my rent was going to get paid or nothing, long as I showed up to work, and that I did.
Maximus receives calls from people seeking health insurance through the marketplace as well as Medicare. But after open enrollment ended, there is less demand for workers to handle the influx of callers. Stephanie worked there from October until last month, when she was laid off due to what the company called a reduction in force. But Stephanie said Maximus is planning to start hiring again as early as next month.
Why fire and let all these people go and then say we're going to be rehiring in July?
She said the company isn't paying certain raises, which she said had been promised to workers. Catherine Charles works with Maximus on the internal support group for marketplace calls.
Well, we're fighting for better pay. We're fighting to stop layoff without any notices or not enough notice. That's what we're doing here. We're fighting for our rights. Many of them are scared, especially after the layoff 2 weeks ago. I'm here. I'm scared. Just to talk to you, I'm scared. But if we don't do these, who's going to protect us? So that's the way I'm doing it. And I hope that more of my coworkers seeing this, they get the courage to come out.
Maximus officials did not agree to a recorded interview, but a statement from the company said in part, "We respect our employees' legal right to attempt to organize, and any information we provide is designed to help them make an informed decision about union representation." Workers say they earn anywhere from around minimum wage to around $20 an hour, but it's not enough. Former Democratic State House Representative Sean Shaw says labor organizers in Florida are struggling across several industries.
It's not just a you know, today CWA issue. It's a really all over the states, teachers unions, it's electric worker unions, it's all kinds of unions. And those of us that know what's going on in Tallahassee need to just be out here, I think, to amplify the efforts that are going out here to let people know how bad it is.
Last month's layoffs were the second round of layoffs just this year, and the union representing the workers says at least 700 employees were let go from several call centers run by Maximus nationwide. The Communications Workers of America filed unfair labor practice charges against Maximus last week, alleging that Maximus laid off some workers in retaliation for speaking out about their working conditions and offered workers unlawful severance agreements. The Florida Board of Medicine has started the new process of creating emergency rules to govern the state's new law on gender-affirming care. Regan McCarthy has more.
The new law bans gender-affirming care for most minors, but kids who started treatment before the law passed will be able to continue. The state has tasked the Board of Medicine and the Board of Osteopathic Medicine with creating standards of care, as well as creating an informed consent process for the exempted kids and for adults who receive treatment. Danny Rosenkrantz spoke at the board's recent meeting.
My concern here is that we have spent a significant amount of time talking about real potential outcomes that are physical health related, but we have not spent enough time talking about the meaningful mental health consequences of limiting this medication.
Rosenkrantz spoke as a member of the public, but is a licensed psychologist who regularly works with members of the LGBTQ plus community. Experts say barring someone from receiving gender-affirming care increases their risk for suicide. The board plans to continue working out the details of the rules at another meeting later this month. I'm Regan McCarthy.
Now for the weather. It's mild and cloudy in the Tampa Bay area. Highs today in the lower 90s. Overnight lows in the lower 70s. I'm Josh Holton with the WMNF News headlines on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org.
This is The Scoop at WMNF, produced by Novia Levy.